This morning, our gospel lesson is John chapter 12, beginning to read at verse 1 through verse 8. I encourage you to hear the word of God. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. And there they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief and he kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. And Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." This is the word of the Lord. This story prepares the way for Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. It reminds us, I believe, that Jesus is about to give his life for the sin of the world, for you and me. It also makes us wonder about Judas. Is not this Jesus, the good shepherd, who tells the story about the shepherd with 100 sheep and one is lost and he leaves the 99 to go after the one lost sheep? Last week, Mike Cilio was telling me how much he appreciated that story, and I showed the picture to the children. And there was the picture of the shepherd looking for the one lost sheep who was on the top of a crag in the hills. Well, today we remember that Jesus loves both Mary, who had been profoundly affected by Jesus' ministry, but he also loves Judas. We also remember that Judas, who believed Mary is wasting a resource, misusing it instead of doing something to help the poor, Jesus chose Judas, and Jesus loved Judas. Before we understand anything else, know that just as Jesus loved sinners and tax collectors and Pharisees and scribes, Jesus also loves Mary and Judas. And both are part of this drama of Jesus' life playing out before our eyes. I think at another level, this is a thank you story. It is the account of one who has been profoundly affected by Jesus' ministry to Mary and to her family. Have you ever considered the ways that people say thank you? Exactly how it is we express thank you? It's rather peculiar, I think. You do something for a friend. You lend him your car so that he and his son can move some boxes to a warehouse. And he comes to you, and he extends his hand, and he grips your hand, and he squeezes it, and he starts moving it up and down, and he says, "Thank you." Now, why is that thank you? It's what our culture recognizes. Your family takes care of your neighbor's animals for the weekend, and on Sunday evening, the wife comes over with a jar of her mother's pickles, and she gives you a gift and says, "Thank you for taking care of Garfield and Odie." It's an act of gratitude. Thank you for taking care of our two beloved animals. A jar of pickles. In Japan, when a person wants to express their gratitude for another, often they bow. You know this, I'm sure. You've seen it enough. Maybe some of you have been to Japan, but you know that the culture there is rather gentle and polite. And in Japan, there's a lot of bowing. And so People are doing this. When you start paying attention to how it is people say thank you, it might seem a little peculiar. In Russia and Hungary, when someone wants to express their gratitude, they take flowers. But they don't take yellow flowers. That's bad luck. And they take flowers that have an odd number of petals. They count the petals to make sure they're an odd number. Even number, bad luck. Yellow flowers, bad luck. So make sure that they're odd petal numbers and any other color other than yellow. In Germany, when students want to express their gratitude for their teachers, you know what they do. They knock on their desks. And that way they express gratitude to those who've instructed them. The way we express gratitude is wild, actually. Well, what about this one? When one country helps another in its revolution to win its freedom, decades later they give a statue over 405 feet tall, weighing 225 tons, that's 450,000 pounds. Now that's a heck of a way to say thank you, isn't it? Imagine getting a statue of a tall woman wearing a spiked hat holding a torch. Now I wonder if someone sent you a tall statue with a woman wearing a spiked hat holding a torch for your front yard. Perhaps the strangest way of saying thank you is what we have in the story today. Mary takes a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard. Spikenard is a plant that only grows in the Himalayan mountains of India and Nepal. And so Mary's fragrant oil of spikenard, turned into perfume, was a rare imported product in Israel, a very expensive item. And one denarius was the wage for one day's labor, and Judas' estimate of the value of Mary's spikenard is correct. 300 denarii would be a year's wages, a year's salary for what she's smearing all over Jesus' feet. She places the perfume on Jesus' feet, and she wipes his feet with her hair. And the house is filled with the fragrance of perfume. Now, we're familiar with the condescending, judging tone of Judas. We've heard that. Maybe we've even given it ourselves. Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii? We've heard that in churches before. We've said it to one another. Judas is concerned about doing the Christian thing. He thinks he's looking out for the poor and suffering. He's not, according to John. John, writing years later, got it honest. He knew what happened to Judas, and he also knew, probably all the disciples knew what Judas was doing. He does not fool anyone. And so Jesus tells Judas, and Jesus tells us that what Mary is doing somehow prepares him for what is coming. And on one level, we should hear what Jesus says, and we should stay tuned. But on another level, we hear what Jesus is saying, and we learn something else. And here's what we learn. Jesus cares for Mary, and he also cares for Judas. And apparently, Mary has profoundly experienced God's forgiveness, God's healing, God's raising Lazarus from the dead, and Mary is showing to Jesus her appreciation. Now, Jesus especially feels threatened by her outward display of gratitude. He believes that the perfume Mary uses to anoint Jesus' feet is a waste, a complete waste. Sometimes our faith and our experience of God's grace offend someone. And this story gives us the occasion to wonder about how we can learn from Jesus. Mary is all about profound gratitude, and she takes gratitude to a new level. Have you ever known someone so profoundly affected by God's miraculous answer to prayer? I know you have because you're a praying congregation. There are people by whom you're seated right now that are people of gratitude. They show it in their lives and on their faces. Every day is a surprise and a source of wonder and delight. Fred Kahn, a writer of church music, wrote a hymn years ago, 1975 as a matter of fact, that is in the Blue Presbyterian Hymn Book, "Help Us Accept Each Other." Actually, Ina wanted us to sing that this morning, and I changed it, and we're singing another one. But I want to share these words with you. Here's how the first verse goes. "Help us accept each other as Christ accepted us. Teach us as sister, brother, each person to embrace. Be present, Lord, among us, and bring us to believe we are ourselves accepted and meant to live and love." Verse 3, "Let your acceptance change us so that we may be moved in living situations to do the truth in love, to practice your acceptance until we know by heart the table of forgiveness and laughter's healing art." Robert Burns, the Scottish poet, once wrote, "Would some power the gift to gie us to see ourselves as others see us?" Can we not see ourselves in Judas? Can we not see the judgment and the indignation? Sometimes we all want to point to someone else who's doing something that we misunderstand. And we make a judgment on that person, and we believe that we are right, they're wrong. Judas believes he is right, and he is pointing out Mary's wasted gift. Well, Jesus accepts her gift willingly and gladly, and he tells Judas that he will have another day to serve the poor. I think gratitude to God is one of the reasons we come and worship, and gratitude to Jesus is something many of us can understand. But we can also understand the reaction of Judas, who sees what Mary is doing and is uncomfortable with her display of appreciation for Jesus. In fact, some of these pictures suggest this is a little creepy. If you're sitting in a room and you see Mary, someone you know, doing something like this, and now the perfume is filling the whole place. Seeing these pictures, for me, suggests that I might relate more to Judas than I do to Mary. The truth is, there is Mary and Judas in all of us. And the truth is, Jesus cares for Mary, and he cares for Judas. And Jesus loves Mary, and Jesus loves Judas. Karl Barth, the great Swiss theologian, many years ago, wrote 48 pages of one of his voluminous books about Judas and Jesus' love for Judas. Was Jesus not able to save this one lost sheep? We know what happened to Judas. He goes out, betrays Jesus, and then kills himself. Judas was chosen by Jesus and called to join him in ministry, and Judas responded, and he spent several years of his life in ministry with Jesus. Doesn't that matter? It does matter. And whatever we think of Mary and Judas, we may remember that there is a bit of both of them in us. And whatever we think of what they do, we may learn to pay attention to Jesus' instruction and attention to this hymn. It is a prayer. "Let your acceptance change us so that we may be moved in living situations to do the truth in love, to practice your acceptance until we know by heart the table of forgiveness and laughter's healing art." What Mary does is just weird, but it is from her heart. Let us pray.